Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Kuhn, and we'll have updates from Kara Hart and Megan Overby. Today is Crop Report Day. At this point, the trade is expecting a carryout of 168 million bushels for soybeans and 1.6 billion bushels for corn. USDA's forecast for soybean export sales will be getting much of the attention today. That report will be released at 11 o'clock.
Utterback Marketing President Bob Utterback thinks we could see the grains pull back after the release of today's report.
I think the odds are probably that a lot of the bullishness is factored in, and it wouldn't surprise me to see a little further correction in the market, but it'll be used by many in the trade as a buying opportunity, both for feed buyers and for speculators.
Utterback says the possibility is there for a bearish reaction, even with friendly numbers.
I think the market is at risk for a neutral report, bearish reaction. So I think Thursday and Friday, chart activity will be increasingly important for the next 2 weeks' trend. Now, it doesn't say that the long-term high's in. It just, and everything's over with. It just says that, as you started out, is a short covering all along, maybe backing out if we can't find a fundamental reason to ignite, and it has to be the South American weather patterns persist and dry out here as we get into January.
Rochag Marketing market analyst Sam Lerner says South America's crop will be the market mover following today's report.
It's been several years with January, February sell signals in our case. Market peaks are demonstrated, and it's hard to say there'll be a higher peak than $12, but certainly the potential is there.
The South American analytical firm Ag Rural is forecasting Brazil soybean production of 131.6 million metric tons. That's down from the previous forecast of 132.2 million. Dry weather was cited as the reason for the downturn.
The North Dakota Grain Growers Association is keeping an eye on what's happening in Washington, D.C. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Kara Hart has more.
Ag lobbyist Jim Callen says some of the big issues for the year ahead for the North Dakota Grain Growers Association focus around conservation.
Wetlands mitigation is going to be a big deal for us. It has been a big deal in 2020 and will be next year. Crop insurance, protection against budget cuts. So at some point, there could be some fatigue in the Congress with some of the monies and dollars that Ag has received for relief payments over the years. And, you know, through no fault of its own, you know, the pandemic, of course, happens and Ag is adversely impacted. There are some who think that maybe with those dollars going to producers that perhaps they should look at that and look for ways to save money going forward. Should be some reductions in the future. That's certainly a possibility.
The Biden administration is also making some cabinet selections. If Tom Vilsack is named the next agriculture secretary, Callen says this could bring a more traditional approach to the USDA.
Some of the other potent candidates for nomination were a little bit concerning. Obviously, I think North Dakota would have significantly preferred Heidi Heitkamp, but we can certainly work with Secretary Vilsack, incoming Secretary Vilsack, and you know, look forward to doing so. We worked with him in the past. We've worked with some of his team members too. I know he's been supportive of the RFS. He's, you know, from Iowa after all. There'll be some significant challenges for him. But you know, we're optimistic that we can work with him and have a good interaction.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Kara Hart for the Red River Farm Network.
According to reports coming out of Washington, D.C., President-elect Joe Biden will nominate Katherine Tai as the next U.S. trade representative. Tai worked at USTR from 2007 to 2014, where she focused on China trade issues. Tai is now the chief trade counsel for the Ways and Means Committee. National Association of Wheat Growers Vice President of Policy and Communications Josh Tonsager has worked with Tai.
She's very good on trade policy issues. She is an alum of USTR. We think that they're could be some good opportunities there.
Tonsager was part of the Minnesota Association of Wheat Growers business meeting last night.
The House has passed a bill to keep the government funded through December 18th. This temporary solution gives lawmakers time to negotiate an omnibus spending bill with a COVID stimulus package. This bill now goes to the Senate. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning, Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. According to South Dakota Corn Growers Association Executive Director Lisa Richardson, there is a great deal of uncertainty today for the ethanol industry.
You know, the current administration, the law said December 1st, they didn't put them out, and a deal was struck that if they decided to give some small refinery waivers, that they would include reallocate for that in the renewable fuel volume number. And so it's uncertain whether the current administration deals with it or they punt it on to the next administration.
Tom Vilsack is expected to return to the Ag Secretary job at USDA. Richardson says Vilsack has been a strong supporter for ethanol. Agriculture is also anxiously awaiting the choice for the EPA cabinet spot.
You know, in farm country, they're concerned about what the regulations look like, how everything affects us. In the ethanol industry, you know, EPA plays a huge role. So we're waiting to see who that person could possibly be. But at the end of the day, you know, we know that we've been through many farm bills many times. Transition of power takes place. And usually there's not major shifts in what happens. And so we look forward to working with whoever that individual is.
The North Dakota Farm Bureau is challenging a township ordinance that prevented a large-scale swine unit from being built. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Megan Overby has more.
NDFB wants the courts to reject an ordinance in Howes Township, Cass County. North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring and Attorney General Wayne Stengem have determined that the township failed to provide any reason to justify the setback requirement. Unsted Twitchell attorney Tyler Leverington, who is representing NDFB in the case, says these headwinds have been faced for many years.
To address that, they adopted state laws that say, okay, specific to animal feeding operations, this is what a township can do. It can't do anything to regulate an animal feeding operation other than these specific things. So now North Dakota Farm Bureau is looking around and its members are reaching out and saying, hey, there's some townships out there that are effectively thumbing their nose at North Dakota's legislature and enacting ordinances and pushing regulations that they simply don't have the authority to enact.
NDFB is also suing Pelican Township in Ramsey County, which denied a permit request for another hog farm. As these cases move forward, Leverington says timelines are hard to predict.
And, I mean, if a township calls today and says, we want to get in compliance with state law, we can work together and get the township in compliance with state law. Alternatively, if any other township wants to fight every little point, and whether we win or they win, if they want to appeal it to the Supreme Court, and I mean, that can be the difference between, hey, let's just get everyone on the same page and get this thing done in a month, as opposed to, we're going to fight about this for the next year.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Megan Overby on the Red River Farm Network.
The North Dakota Grain Growers Association held their annual meeting virtually yesterday. Members set resolutions and discussed the upcoming North Dakota legislative session. Executive Director Dan Wogsland says one of the top priorities for the association in the session is the NDSU Ag Products Development Center, among other things.
We have got to get that built. And so we're going to be working with our hand-in-hand with our decision makers in Bismarck to help to get that across the finish line and get that center built. It's so important for North Dakota agriculture. It's so important for regional agriculture. And so that's going to be a priority. Water management issues are going to be big. We've heard a lot of rumbling about water management issues in the state. Transportation, of course. You know, rural infrastructure, rural roads, bridges, things like that, that's going to be big.
The landowner rights bill will also be monitored.
And, of course, as in any legislature, something's going to pop up out of left field, and you better be able to catch it.
North Dakota Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford also attended that meeting.
Today's Prairie Grains Conference is a virtual event. Speakers include the Chief Agricultural Negotiator for the U.S. Trade Representative's Office, Greg Dowd. The agenda also includes American Farm Bureau Federation Chief Economist John Newton and NDON Director Daryl Richeson. As of last night, nearly 800 people were registered for today's Prairie Grains Conference. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The University of Minnesota is celebrating the 50th anniversary of Norman Borlaug's winning of the Nobel Peace Prize. James Burdine, who leads the Plant Pathology Department at the University of Minnesota's College of Food and Agriculture and Natural Resource Sciences, says this milestone recognizes the importance of food safety.
Norman Borlaug receiving the Nobel Peace Prize really was a recognition of investment in scientific research and application to real-world problems. Borlaug and his team were really innovative and creative in recognizing the needs of farmers and brought solutions to really what were and remain persistent problems in the world today.
Borlaug is an alum of the University of Minnesota. This year's Nobel Peace Prize is being awarded to the United Nations World Food Program.
And so it's sort of a nice bookend that 50 years later, you know, since the recognition of the Green Revolution and Norman Borlaug's work, we see the World Food Program being awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, really along the same vein that hungry people are not peaceful people. So investment in food security is really important to a just and peaceful world as well.
Hybrid selection is one of the biggest influences on yield. University of Minnesota Extension corn agronomist Jeff Coulter says the yield differences between corn hybrids range from 30 to 50 bushels per acre or more. During the University of Minnesota Crop and Pest short course, Coulter advised farmers to choose 2 to 3 hybrids in 2 to 3 different maturity groups.
And then within one of these maturity groups, the idea is to choose hybrids that have high and stable yield, lower grain moisture, and less stalk lodging. Other factors to consider for hybrid selection, as needed, include suitability for corn on corn, emergence and early season vigor, green snap rating, root strength, drought tolerance, and tolerance to insect pests, herbicides, and diseases.
That virtual short course wraps up today. In the markets, Minneapolis wheat, March, 6 cents higher, 561.5, May, 5.75 better. Chicago wheat for March, 11.75 higher at 595. Hard red winter wheat, March, 10.25 higher. We have a 2.5 cent gain right now for March corn, 426.25. January soybeans, 11.69, that's 10.5 higher. We're a dime higher for the March beans as well. Of course, it is crop report day. We'll have the numbers out from USDA at 11 o'clock and with 11:30 markets and agriculture today, all the details happening with that report. It is the 2020 Prairie Grains Conference, a virtual event today. Daryl Richardson on tap at 9 o'clock this morning, of course, from NDON. The Ambassador Greg Dowd from the U.S. Trade Office at 11, and Dr. John Newton, the Chief Economist from American Farm Bureau at 1:15 today. Of course, they have already wheat and soybean reporting sessions coming up at the top of the hour, just seconds away. The MNDAC Farmers Co-op has their annual meeting. That is going on today. Plenty on the schedule. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.